Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All About Entrepreneurs. We're excited that you decided to tune in to the show today. Heard every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Well, we want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out. We want you to get ready to take lots of notes. We want you to go to another level in your life because it's all about entrepreneurs, where we have exciting guests who will come and teach you the strategies, the tips, the tools for you to be successful at life, at work, at school, and in your business. And now your host, the power coach, Lalisa, and the possibilities coach, Cassandra.
All right. Good morning to my awesome and amazing co-host, Cassandra. Cassandra, what is going on your way in your part of the country?
Good morning. Well, number one, it's a beautiful day. It's a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I'm telling you, we've got beautiful weather today, and I'm alive, and I am ready to go.
This is amazing.
Thank you, God.
You know, I tell you, we are so excited for you. We want you to power up your day, get motivated, get driven. You know, a lot of people just want that drive. I was at a women's event yesterday, and a woman said she just wants more drive. So you know what? We're here to help you get that drive so that you can achieve your goals and reach your goals and even succeed and exceed your greatest expectations. You have it within you. The power is within you. I can't say that enough, Coach Cassandra. I don't think people really get it or believe it, but it's really there.
That's right, and that's why you're called the Power Coach, Lalisa, and I am the Possibility Coach. We are the dynamic duo, and I tell you, we have gotten together to inspire, motivate, and encourage folks all over the country. And I tell you, I am excited about my purpose. I'm excited about the potential, the possibilities that God has given us to give you so that you can rise up and own the power, own who He has made you to be, and be glad about it. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
Oh, it's on now. It is on. I tell you, yesterday I went to that event that I jumped off the line with yesterday. It was a group of women in the Embassy Suites Hotel. And I mean, these ladies were ready to rock and roll. And they got it. When I told them, you have the power within you to change every circumstance in your life. I don't care if it's the worst thing. Your life could be a total wreck. It could be such a mess that you really just want to end it. But hold on. Let me tell you, the power to make a difference in your own life. There were women who came to that event. Some of them had come by taxi. Some had come by bus. These women, so a couple of them didn't even want to come. One lady had a foot appointment. She said, you know what, I can go get my, she had MS. She said she's supposed to go to the foot doctor. But she said something was hitting her in the back of the head that told her to come to this empowerment session. And so,
wow. You know,
I kept saying, Lord, why are these people wanting me here to start off the meeting? There were two other speakers. They were there from 8:30 till 3 o'clock. And so the lady was calling me. I'm on the air doing the show, getting off the show, and I'm like, why are they calling me so early? Well, I see they needed empowerment infused into these women, and they needed a no-holds-barred type of empowerment. See, a lot of people, they don't understand a no-holds-barred type of empowerment. That's where you're talking about, you're in a fight. That's when every punch, every knockout, every jab, every hook, every uppercut, nothing is barred from what you can do so that you can whip that enemy or discouraging thought, because that's all it is. It's a thought telling you what you can't do. That's the only thing. I deal with it. You know, I told those women, you're not the only one that is dealing with a thought telling you what you can't do. That's all it is. Yeah. And I know that sounds simple. It's simple, but it's complicated. You see, it's simple, but not everybody can do it. But when you figure it out, it's easier.
Yeah.
But guess what? It's like taking a shower. You got to do it every day.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah,
you know
it's
what?
Not a,
Just hearing you say what you say, you know, you are needed for this hour, woman of God. You have the word of God in your mouth. Just as Esther was called to the king for such a time as this. This is your season. This is your time to open up your mouth wide and declare what thus saith the Lord. People need to be encouraged. The Bible says if we are to encourage one another daily.
That's right.
Daily.
That's right.
Not just when we go to church on Sunday, not on Tuesday or Wednesday night, but daily. And you know what? We need to be the kind of people that will allow God to interrupt our lives. And I'm telling you, He interrupts me all the time. I can be in the grocery store. Ma'am, can you help me?
Right.
You come in my presence, I am ready to be released on you. You hear me?
I got a
word for you, you know, and I know that I'm on assignment, you know, that it's not about me, but it's about who I serve. I'm about the kingdom agenda. And when you have that mindset, oh my goodness, God
sees
you.
It's on.
It's on.
And these women, and you know what, one of the ladies, it was so interesting, she said that, now this woman has a big job and some big bank, and she talked about how she grew up very poor in the inner city and in the projects, and it was her mom and her two sisters, and she said that everyone in her community, she said no one in that community had a man, had a father in the household. No one she grew up around had a father in the household. But she said, and all her mother kept saying to them was to tell them to want more. M-O-R-E. She said she didn't know what she was going to study in college. She didn't know what kind of job she was going to do. Now she lives in a wonderful home, nice neighborhood, living well, nice job. She said all she knew was she wanted more. And that's what, you know, we got to realize that sometimes we're not going to know all of God's plans anyway. Get over it. But you may not know where you don't know where you're going to end up. None of us do. But that wanting more, I want something more, I want something better than my current circumstances can sometimes be enough to get you to the next level. So we are excited, and God wants it. Paul said, I press towards the mark of the high call. So that, to me, that's Paul's way of saying, I want more. Jesus said, I came so that you would have life and have it more abundantly. You know, and that scripture you mentioned earlier, Cassandra, when it says each should encourage the other, and the Lord showed me to keep going with that. It says each should encourage the other better than himself. See, that means you need to encourage yourself. And I love the way it said each should encourage the other better than himself. So in other words, I'm going to encourage me, but I'm going to add a little extra when I encourage you. And so it's just a reminder that we, everything you're saying, that's one of my absolute favorite scriptures. So thank you for reminding me of that. But we're excited. We have an awesome guest today. Don't forget, we have more to tell you later about upcoming Power Up Your Possibility. Good morning to our Southwest guests and audience and people from the Ohio, Cleveland area, those who call in from Chicago, Illinois. I see you on Facebook. Those I got a new Facebook friend in Indiana just yesterday. Thank you so much for calling in. I see a new area code here on the line. Don't forget, whenever you want to speak to one of the hosts, you have to hit your number one key. So our guest today, as soon as you come on the line, you need to hit your number one key so that we'll know it's you. And I think we have someone. I'm going to, but Cassandra's going to formally introduce our guest, but I just want them to know that we recognize them. So I'm going to just open up this phone line to acknowledge our guest, area code 407. Is this the prophet?
Yes, ma'am. Good morning. How you doing?
Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. Good morning. Good morning. So I'm going to turn the mic back over to Coach Cassandra.
Yes. We're going to introduce Prophet John Hart in one moment. I want to remind everyone, hey, let's gear up for the teleshow. April 29th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, the teleshow where we feature five of America's best coming with you. All right, we are going to power you up for the teleshow where we use the social media, we use our telephones, and we are online, and we are corresponding back and forth, having a conversation, and it is awesome. Power pack. We're going to power you up so you can kick it. Kick what? Kick discouragement, kick defeat, kick anything out of your life that is not beneficial to you for you to go to the next level. So we're going to assist you with that process. And I believe the webinar is April 22nd. Is that correct, Lalisa? Just running that by you.
That is absolutely. The webinar is the 22nd of April, and the Power Up Your Possibilities teleshow. Go tell everyone. That's right. Go tell everybody your show is on April the 29th.
All right.
Yes,
Thank you for that.
Yeah, 9 p.m. 9 p.m. Yes. 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Mark your calendar.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you so much, Coach. Yes, I am so happy to introduce to you John Hart. He was born and raised in Orlando, Florida. Absolutely love Orlando. I used to live there. And he is the second son of a Pentecostal preacher. John grew up surrounded by the Word of God. After high school, he spent 7 years in the United States Navy. The call to share the gospel with others was something he could not escape. And while pursuing a degree in business administration, he began an internet text group that quickly became a global ministry. The ministry quickly spread to radio, church buildings, and also he's the author of two books. One of the books is called Heart to Heart International. One of the books is called Salt and Light by J.L. Hart at Amazon.com. And this book you're going to find filled with heartfelt stories and insights from people who are experiencing the joy of Jesus and happy to share their life-changing insights. And then he does another book, and I love the title of this one. I love them both. But it's called Expressions of a Godly Man. That's right, Expressions of a Godly Man. That's at Amazon.com. And this book, after answering a call, placed on his life to share the gospel with others, John began to write poems. The inspiration for these poems came from an intense and personal relationship with God, motivated by an unction placed on his heart by the Holy Spirit, just like David. Wow. And we thank him. And you're going to want to get pen and paper, I'm sure, and take some notes. John's going to have some valuable information to share with us. So good morning. We welcome and introduce to you John Hart. John, please say hello to our audience.
Hello. Good morning, everyone, and I thank you ladies again for having me on this morning.
Well, we're glad you're here.
Yes. Yes, we're so glad you're here. And so, John, tell us a little bit of your history. What has transpired to kind of bring you up to this spot in your life?
Well, currently right now the ministry is growing, and we're just blessing God for what he's doing. Like you said earlier, this ministry started out being a project for school, of all things. We had to write a business proposal in school, and everybody had to come up with a business, and ministry has always been on my heart. But we did a, I don't know if you had the little Myers-Briggs test where it tests you to see what type of job skills you'll be good for. And when mine came out, it kept coming out, pastor. And I was like, I don't want to be no pastor. That's the last thing on my mind, you know, because we have gotten a bad rap in the church as men of God, because we have so many people who aren't called to ministry that are in ministry, and it has really just tainted it. So I ran from it for years, but, you know, I'm sure as you ladies know, when God has something for you, you can try to get away from it as much as you want, but nothing in your life is going to work until you do what he tells you to do. So I ran, and I got to the point where I couldn't run anymore, and he just placed it on my heart to start sharing the word with people. And it grew so fast until it almost seemed surreal or fake. It just didn't seem like, you know, a ministry out of your house could grow so fast. And I just want to encourage your listeners to let them know, you know, we have so many people who want to be missionaries and want to be all these things and travel overseas, but are you sharing the word with your neighbors and the people right around you? Everybody's waiting to get behind the pulpit to deliver a message. You can deliver a message at the hair salon, the barber shop, your coworkers, with your mechanic. The gospel isn't limited to the pulpit. And I think that's one of the greatest tricks of the enemy right now. We have so many talented people in ministry who are waiting on their time to get behind the pulpit when the word is already inside of them.
All right. Yes, absolutely. You're absolutely right. Well, tell us, John, as a child, when did you come to know that you had a prophetic call on your life? How did that happen for you? Did God begin to reveal himself to you at a young age?
It's funny you said that, because when I was a kid, I could always see spirits, and I thought I was crazy, you know, to the point where at night, when it was time for me to go to the bathroom, I would just hold it until the next morning, because when I walked down the hall, I would see things moving, and I don't want to sound crazy. I don't know if anybody else sees spirits or whatever, but I knew something was wrong, but I thought something was wrong with me until maybe like 9 or 10 years old. My father grew up picking oranges in Groveland. It's a small city outside of Orlando. And my mom would never make my oldest brothers go. He's also a bishop in the Church of God. My whole family's in ministry. But when I was 9, my dad told me, you're going to do great things for God. And I thought he was tricking me because he just wanted me to pick oranges with him all day. You know, so when you're 9 years old, you really don't understand that. But as I got older, I noticed I would always know what people are going to say or what they're going to do, and I used it, I hate to say this, for my advantage for the wrong reasons, because a lot of people don't understand gifts and callings come without repentance. You have the same gifts, you just choose the different master to use it for. So fortune tellers and palm readers and all those people have prophetic gifts. They're just using it to exploit people and get money out of them. You know, you have prophets, and then you have people that are out for profit. Same gift, different master. But as I got older, you know, and I stopped running around chasing women and all that foolishness that us men get caught up in, and I got, you know, my late 30s, I knew it was a calling on my life, and I started realizing, you know, something's weird here. Something's not right. And then God, you know, I don't know how God speaks to everybody else, but he spoke to me and told me, get the book of Amos. As I'm reading Amos, he said, I called you to be my prophet. But I know I have a direct calling from God, not to boast or brag on it, but I encourage anyone, if God himself has not showed you, told you, or confirmed to you that you've been called to ministry, you haven't been called. And I say that in respect and not disrespect, because we have a lot of people out here that are tricking people into thinking they're supposed to be in ministry. So I found out when I was in my late 30s that I had a calling on my life for the prophetic, and God has used me in a mighty way, sister, to just go around and just do what prophets are supposed to do, and that's bring correction to the body of Christ. And not, you know, again, I'm not knocking anybody, but Lord just compels me to always tell the truth. Not just run $100 lines and healing lines to get money from people, but if you follow the Bible, prophets always bring a word of correction. And that's the thing that we need now because the church is so out of order.
Mm-hmm. You know what? You are so true. Being a prophet in the Old Testament was not a popular thing. I mean, you could get beheaded, you know. So being a prophet was no joke, you know, if you were a real prophet, you know, if you really study the Bible. And, you know, you will see that, you know, they constantly were putting them in jail. They were constantly, I mean, ridiculed, you know. I can remember, case in point, Jehoshaphat and King were together, and Jehoshaphat says, let's call the prophet, I can't remember his name right now, I don't know if you remember it, and the king says, oh, no, no, we don't want to call him, you know, he never says anything good, you know.
Amen.
So, it wasn't a popularity contest or something for people to ooh and ah, you know, when you were a prophet, and, you know, that prophet did kind of make fun of the king, you know, and the king said, you're playing with me. You know you need to go ahead and tell the truth.
Amen.
As soon as he told the truth, they put him in jail.
Yeah.
Lord Jesus. So, you know, if you're a real prophet, go ahead.
Yeah, we do have a caller, so let's take this caller. Caller, you're on the air. Area code 678. Welcome to All About Entrepreneurs. You're on the air with Prophet John Hart, and you know we're here. Go right ahead.
I didn't have a question. It's just Kathy Howard listening in.
Okay.
Hey, Kathy.
So we'll put you back on hold. Thank you, Kathy. And we'll let you continue with your interview with this awesome prophet, awesome man of God. Thank you again so much. Go right ahead, Coach Cassandra.
Yes. So, Prophet, tell us what you've got going on. What's going on now that you'd like to share, whether it's what you feel like God is saying for this season or what events do you have coming up? Would you like to share with us?
Yes, right now I'm working on a couple of books and a play as well. The Expressions of a Godly Man is a book of poetry, and God laid it on my heart to write love letters to him from a male's point of view. So many men don't like to express themselves, and it's one of the things, and not to piggyback on any type of racial stereotype, but it's one of the things that kills African-American relationships is we don't know how to communicate. We've never really sat down and been told by the men in our lives, and I know a lot of men, so I'm not speaking for every individual man in the world, but a lot of men that I've been in contact with, we don't know how to express ourselves to women or to God because we've never been taught how to love. A lot of us have been taught how to lead or how to provide, but how do you love? And, you know, and that's something that God has really put on my heart to share with men is how do we love and empower our family, you know, not just our wives, but our kids. You know, kids, when they have a situation, most of them always go to the mother because dad gives correction and he gives whatever, but he never really sits down and shows compassion. And God was a man of compassion. David was a man of compassion. So if we're following Christ, men, where is our compassion? You know, in Ephesians 5, he tells us, we're supposed to lay down our lives for our wives and, you know, for our family. And how many men, you know, honestly, listeners and hosts, how many men do you really know that are willing just to do that? You know, and if you're following God and you're not doing that, then I say it in respect, you're out of order. So the book of the poems is about that. It's about showing love unconditionally, being the fire preventer and the fire putter outer. That's not a word, but the person who puts the fires out in your home always falls back on the man. And that's something that men get very upset with me when I say, but it's true. Every problem that's happening in your house, it's your job to put the fire out. I don't care if you started the fire or not. It's your job to put it out. And that's what the Expressions of a Godly Man is about. But the two books that I'm working on now, one is about dating and how the church has taken courting and molded it into worldly dating. And, you know, we have a great book out. You know, I'm not knocking Brother Harvey about, you know, dating and relationships. And so many Christian women have taken that principle of, well, I'll wait 90 days. Well, if you wait 90 days, 91 days, 9 days, and you're not married, you're still committing fornication. So we have so many people who are following worldly guidelines but yet claiming the name of Jesus Christ. So I'm working on a book now, which is going to be a play as well, and it's about courting versus dating. I don't know how old you ladies are, but I'm 45, and I remember watching TV shows and all that thing, but you had to meet the father. You had to meet the mother before you even thought about taking the daughter out. And then you knew someone there cared about that young lady, and they respected her and respected you to get her back home at a decent time. Most of the families now, the men isn't around, you know, to do the job. So we got people in church that's willy-nilly doing anything. They've dated 5, 6, 7 people in the same congregation and slept with 2 or 3 of them, and everybody knows it, but nobody's saying, hey, man, you need to stop that. So, you know, the order needs to be restored back in what is courting, what is dating. Because if you're not dating for marriage, you're dating for fun. And casual dating, we all know, leads to casual mating. So how am I to stand up and start talking to these kids and these young adults about this? You know, it's more ways to have fun and keep your clothes on than it is, you know,
come on now.
So, and that's the thing nobody wants to talk about because we're scared to lose members, but we're losing souls trying to hold on to members.
Come on now.
Another book I'm working on is called The Collection Plate, and it talks about how preachers are going around and collecting people in their attempt to collect money, and they're exploiting and using the people, making merchandise of them, but they're not winning souls to Christ. And so many men are preying on the emotions of women to get them to come to their churches. Some of them even promising a marriage, in fact, and then you don't marry this lady. And now you wonder why you got commotion in the church, but you done told 10 people in the church, oh, I'm looking at you, sister, you might be the first lady. Stop playing with these people. You know,
wow.
So people like to get mad. You know, you're playing with their lives. They got kids. You're beating these people on, and now you're mad because they're upset because your quote-unquote relationship didn't work out. And if more people in the church would start talking to each other, they would find out that these pastors are telling a lot of these people the same thing they're telling you. But don't tell everybody, but it's between us. Why do you have to be a secret? If anything in your life is a secret and it's a work of God, that's a work of the devil. You need to quit fooling yourself.
So I like that, Prophet. Prophet John,
you
know.
It's the time to say the truth. It's the time to say the truth in the church.
Yeah, this is Coach Lalisa here, and, you know, God bless you, man of God, because I think this is probably going to be, I'm trying to let you do most of the talking here because I think this is going to be one of our most downloaded and listened to shows because I really believe that, you know, there are a lot of people who need a word right now of correction, you know, because I know when I was a young, I'll be 58 this year. So when I was a child, my mother believed in correction. I had the problem with me, but my problem, she was 100% a corrector, and I was 100% a rebellious child. But I would have been worse off had she not been into correction. So I thank God for the correction that she gave us. I wouldn't be probably alive today to even have this conversation with you. But I think that when you said that about the correction and the prophets and the Lord being able to use the prophet to give a word of correction, I guess what I'm trying to say, make a long story short, I thank God for that correction. Not while I was a child and getting it at that point as a teenager. I hated it. But when I got older, when I got in my 20s, probably in my 20s, I began to know when I went off to the military, I noticed how I was different from a lot of the people because I had been on some basic things. And then I even noticed that even in dating, I noticed that I was able to date different kinds of people because of the correction that my mother and father did lay down, the laws were laid. So I totally agree with you that people need to hear another word. And from the pulpit, I think, is a good place because there are a lot of people that do still go to church. And they don't, and they're in the church. I know we got outside the walls where we're doing a lot of stuff, but we got a lot of people coming to church that need the same word. So I just wanted to share that. And I hear your thoughts for a couple seconds about some more on that. And then we're going to take a commercial break. But, yeah, if you would just, you know, like to respond to the how you feel about being, you know, open like that. Because a lot of young people, they don't have anyone. They don't want to hear from people my age a lot of times. They'll hear more from someone your age and even younger.
Well, I thank God for you speaking the truth, sister. And I thank God for that military background because I was in the service as well. And it, service just does something to you, you know, when it comes to order and respect. But I, my father is a retired bishop over 50 years. My brother's an active bishop now. Some of my closest friends are all pastors. And I said that disclaimer to say I have nothing against leadership, but we have to hold our leaders accountable. The Bible says that the blessing runs down from the hair to the beard to the body. And the Bible also says so the priests, so the people. It is the men of God who are leading the church astray. It is the men of God who are not holding the church accountable. It is the men of God who are playing in the church. That's why the people feel comfortable to come and play in the church. We've become a whole body now of soothsayers and itchy ears and sermons to please people. There's certain books in the Bible, sister, that you never hear people come out of anymore. You know, you don't hear anybody talking out of Jude. People stay away from that. People stay away from Romans. They stay away from Acts. Any type of book, Corinthians, that really brings correction and edifying to the body, we stay away from that. But the Bible says to eat the whole scroll, the bitter and the sweet. You can't just pick out the books that you don't like. There's 66 books in there, and if whoever the Holy Spirit is leading at that day, if he says preach on homosexuality, you preach on it. It's not that I cannot emphasize enough how much the church targets gay people wrongly. No sin is greater than any other sin. The fornicator is just as wrong as a homosexual. But we love to attack certain people because it makes us feel more holier than thou. But the problem in our churches is leadership. God has had me travel to different states and even so fact live with pastors while I'm there helping them reestablish the church to a biblical foundation. And he showed me what the problem is. The problem is, and I say this with all sincerity, and I pray the Holy Spirit would bear witness to this truth, is pastors have stopped loving their wives and their children and fallen in love with ministry, not the gospel ministry. Paul said, if any man preaches any other gospel, let him be accursed. These men are so caught up in Sister Daniel saying how nice his suit looked. Sister Martha saying, oh, Pastor, when you preach, you did something to me. Your wife is home playing Candy Crush all day. You won't touch her. You won't say hello to her. Your kids is running the streets doing whatever. But I am the greatest preacher in all of captivity. No, you have failed the very first assignment of ministry, and that is to minister to your family. Timothy says that if a man does not rule his own house well, he cannot rule the house of God. So how in the world does everybody in the church know what's going on with you but your wife, but your kids? But you're the greatest preacher in the world. Get back, man of God, to loving your families. I've lived with this. I've seen it from my own eyes. I'm not attacking men because I am one. But we have dropped the ball, and that is where the problem is. You're so caught up in attention and praise and admiration from these little young girls in church that you've forgotten about the woman who's covering you in the spirit in prayer. There's no greater team on earth than husband and wife. That's why the devil attacks marriage the way he does. Because you don't have to look for somebody to touch and agree with. You're already touched with somebody because you're bound in the spirit to them. People don't understand how powerful marriage is. God told me when I got saved, I didn't deserve a wife because I didn't value people. See, so I tell my testimony. I'm not ashamed to tell it. I can't get married now because of the years that I spent not respecting his women. So he told me, no, you don't deserve a wife. You do my work until you get to a point where you appreciate people. So you pastors mm-hmm. out there, you bishops, you apostles, take it from somebody who's telling the truth and the Holy Spirit is bearing witness because I feel him. Don't end up
yes.
like me by yourself. Then you will understand that Juanita will never replace your wife. Because Juanita just wants the offer. Your wife is up fasting and praying for you when these witches are attacking you. But no, don't let your eyes lead your ministry away from God. The Lord told me he lose more men behind women than any other thing in ministry. And the only reason they want the money and the power is to get the younger women. A younger
yes,
woman is the most dangerous thing to a pastor. So first ladies, secretaries out there, if you see your pastor talking to anybody less than half his age or close to that, you need to go ahead and pull his coattail and let him know you being used. Because don't no 25-year-old woman want no 55, 60-year-old man but for one thing, and that's money. Stop thinking you that fly. Stop fooling yourself and just preach the gospel and stay away from these women. Focus on the one woman God gave you. And that's all, you know.
Amen. Well, Pastor, you got to get it started up in here, and we're going to do this commercial, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk to you because it's about to get started. Don't go away. If you're listening in, you're hearing from Prophet John Hart, who has the heart of God, and we're feeling it, and we want to get to these commercials. But before I play our commercial, you know, we have advertisers who are so gracious to work with us, and we want to work with them. But I also want to remind everybody about the Christian Social Network. That's the Christian Social Network, and we'll be playing their commercials probably later on this week or next week. We'll get an official commercial for them. But Mr. David Knight, many of you met him. He's the CEO and founder of the Christian Social Network. Please, we want everyone to open up that account. It's like the Christian Facebook, and I think it's a place where places like where John Hart's message can also be heard, you know, daily and weekly. We got to get the word out. If we don't get the word out, the blood is on our hands, so I'm glad that we could be able to do that. So let's listen to this commercial.
It's time for your vision to life. Serena Washington is owner and founder of Two Covenant Mogul and Project Create Your Success, a company that exposes how to make recurring income while you sleep. $300 will get you the individual plan and $500 for the family plan. Our vision books are for all occasions, including but not limited to memory lane, graduations, weddings, and children books. Project Create Your Success is a program that cares about your family security. Also, ask about our protection plan at 504-710-7359. Contact us today to get started. 504-710-7359, or send an email to authorserenawashington@gmail.com. That's authorserenawashington@gmail.com. And remember, Project Create Your Success by Two Covenant Mogul.
Awesome, awesome. Well, we're back with Prophet John Hart. Oh, my God. Prophet, please keep right on going because I believe the Holy Spirit is moving right now and someone is definitely getting a breakthrough. The phone lines are jammed. Everyone's calling in. I've been posting it on Facebook. Thank you, Facebook, Twitter, the Christian Social Network. We're connected with them. So please continue on and let's, you know, let people know that God is on their side. You know, God is willing to help, and I think it's a good word.
Amen. Again, I'd like to thank you ladies for having me on this morning. I pray that whatever it is that you're doing in this season for the glory of God, that he will continue to bless whatever you put your hands towards. And one of the things that the Lord is putting on my heart to share with people is we've gotten away from working together in ministry. There's a reason God called the fivefold ministry, and people don't want to work together unless you partner with them. So if you want pledge to their ministry and spend X amount of dollars, we've made everything about money. when I grew up as a child, you know, it wasn't about money. If they didn't have money, they did fish fries, bake sales, or whatever. Or if so-and-so didn't have nothing, they would run an extension cord from somebody's house to keep the lights on. We've gotten away from love. God never said that they would know that they're my disciples by the gifts and the callings on their lives. He said that you would know it by the love that we show one another. Where's the love, church? I met a lady the other day who is living in a lesbian relationship. And while we're talking, God showed me a vision behind her of a road, a brand-new dark blacktop road being paved through a bunch of wood. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, this woman can go places you could never go for me because she's accepted in the lesbian community and you're not. But the churches want to write these people off. He said, while they were yet sinners, he called them. We have to learn to work with people no matter what stage of life they're in. But the church now only wants to work with you if you can work with it. We're supposed to be the hospital for these people who are sick with sin. But no, if you can't play the drums or if you can't sing in the choir or if you don't have a love offering, we're overlooking you. And there's two people in the body of Christ, and I'm only 45, but God has blessed me with wisdom, and I say that to give him the glory and not me. But there's two group of people, church, that we keep overlooking, and that's the very old and the very young. We don't think old people can do anything for us, but they've lived. They have wisdom, understanding, and insight. The Bible says, I call the old man because he knows the way and the young man because he's strong. Who can tell you better how to overcome financial difficulties in the church than the mother who's been there since the church was founded? See, we don't want to hear that. We want to sit down with financial planners and all this, and I'm not against education. I've been to college, too. But where's the leaning on the Holy Spirit, church? Where's the insight? Because you can go to Yale, Harvard, or wherever you want to go. You won't know what's coming in the future. Your college degree won't allow you access to the spirit world, but the Holy Spirit will. So this mother can tell you, look, we need to save. We need to da-da-da-da-da. We need to come together as a family because all church is a group of families coming together for the glory of God with a spiritual leader over us. But if we don't have love one for another, I parked cars when I first got saved, y'all, at a church. I was just so excited to be saved. I was out there with the teenagers parking cars. People were laughing at me, you know, picking at me. How are you 40 years old, Pastor God? Look, but if God told me to pick up cigarette butts, I was going to do it. I was just so happy to be saved, I didn't know what to do. But I would watch people come to church, argue in the parking lot, go in church, hop up and down like fish out of water, and get right back in the parking lot arguing. And it's just, it's foolishness. We're not living the show that we're putting on for people. And it's only God who has the say-so whether we get in heaven or not. So we've become not man-pleasers, but we've become entertainers. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me one day when I was driving. He said, the African-American community comes to church to be entertained because most of us don't have the financial resources to go to the basketball games or to go to the ballet or to go to the opera and do these things that other people have the money to do. So we're looking for some form of entertainment. So where do we go? The local church. We go to church now, people, to be entertained and not to be Holy Ghost filled. We've gotten away from baptism. We've gotten away from testimony service. We do praise and worship for 2 or 3 hours. And isn't it almost so convenient how we do praise and worship right before we take up the offering? And why, you know, we're teaching these people in seminary school and all these things, get the people hyped, and then take up an offering. And then the people wonder why they're not being blessed. You're not being blessed because you're not giving from your heart. You're giving because you don't want to be embarrassed. You're giving out of necessity. But you're not giving it in love to sustain the church or to be obedient with your tithe. So you wonder why you're not growing because you're not properly sowing. But the minute somebody says that, you want to kick them out of the church. So how can we be gathered in his name and get mad when somebody speaks the truth in his name? It's simple. We're not gathered in his name. We're gathered in the name of growing the church. We're gathered in the name of, boy, look how nice I look with this suit on. We're gathered in the name of, boy, if the preacher let me speak tomorrow, I'm going to tear it down. You know, so we had all these ideas on what we want to do, but we're not entering his gates with praise and thanksgiving. And that's what the church, this is what the Lord is putting on my heart to share with the people. He showed me how Reverend James Cleveland and all those old-time gospel singers and I'm not calling them out because I don't know these people personally, but like Mary Mary and some of these other gospel singers, he says they're not singing to me. The old songs sung praises to God. We're singing songs now for entertainment and for the things that we want from God instead of just praising God for who he is. If he doesn't give you a Lexus, are you still going to praise him? If he doesn't give you a five-bedroom house with a four-bedroom and a three-car garage, are you still going to praise him? What about the simple fact that you got up this morning and you got breath in your body and your kid's not in prison and your husband not bashing your head in? Is that not enough reason to praise him? What about the simple fact that he is the only person that has access for you to get into heaven? We're on God's earth, breathing his air, using his bodies to get back to his heaven, but we don't want to give him any credit, any glory, or any praise. And this is the church, not the people in the streets. We have the power, people of God, to turn cities around. And if we don't believe that, we need to get back in our Bibles. 120 people got together in the book of Acts. We got churches with 60,000 people in one building. How can we not get on one accord and shut down every piece of evil that's manifested in the city? It's very simple. We're not on one accord. We had a prayer meeting in my house the other day, me and five other people. And we prayed, and God just moved. I mean, it was so powerful. And I encourage the people of God, if you're not getting what you need from your church, and I'm not telling you to act in rebellion because Romans 13 says every power is subject to the higher power. But what's wrong with you getting with a couple of your friends and y'all just fast and pray on Friday instead of going to the movies? We'll get together to do everything except for pray. So if you're not praying in church, what's stopping you from praying at home? If you're not fasting at church, if your church just isn't doing that until God finds you a church home, why not fast and pray with your friends at home? We got time for everything, mafia-wise, basketball-wise, you know, Real Housewives of L.A. or whoever, whatever we like to do. And don't even get me started on this scandal thing and how everybody's just become a cult fanatic behind scandal, you know. But if you tell them to read the Bible, I ain't got time for that. You know, the Bible, it put me to sleep. Okay, but you can watch Olivia all day, Sleep with a Married Man, and that's your favorite show, but you full of the Holy Ghost, but your favorite show is about a scandal. It's time we just start checking each other, I mean, just raw, real with stuff, because whatever you entertain is what you support, because TV is entertainment. It detains you, and it enters into you whatever it needs. That's why they have commercials in between that. They're pouring into you. So what are you pouring into yourself? I'm not saying don't watch every TV show that comes on, because everything on TV is not godly. But you better put some word on top of that stuff to saturate it. Because if not, you'll find yourself caught up in a scandal and think it's okay, because that's the lifestyle you live. When we were kids, our parents always said birds of a feather flock together. You start hanging around something long enough, your friends steal, and you don't get out the car, it won't be long before you start stealing. It's just that simple. So they're going to keep getting money. That's how I got caught up in the streets when I was younger. I had a good job. My friends were making money right in front of me all week to make what they was making in a couple of hours. I'm like, man, I got to try this. This is ridiculous. I can't keep up with these guys. So we as a church have become more in tune with what's going on in the world than what's going on with God. And it's simple. We don't trust God to be our source anymore. Our job is our source. Our education is our source. All these things that he's afforded us the ability to have now become our gods. And your generation before me and my generation, you know, are the last two that I see that really don't mind hearing the truth, because we got whoopings as kids. You know, this not whooping kids thing is just ruining our children. The Bible says you spare the rod, you spoil the child. You know, like you said earlier about you being a teenager and your mother getting on you, but Proverbs 20:26 says if you train a child up, and that's what your mother did. When they get old, kids are going to be bad. They're going to do whatever. But that training has been installed in them.
Yes.
My son is a prime example. I don't want our kids to be perfect. Excuse me?
Wait a minute, one second. You got a whooping, I got a beating, but go ahead.
You got a beating.
Do we have any callers waiting?
A better person.
Yes, Meg. Hold on. We have to take callers also. If there's anyone waiting at this time to ask a question or make a comment?
No, there's no one. somebody up. Somebody just tuned in, but I definitely wanted, Prophet, if you remember that thought you were about to make, and I'll open up their phone line if you would just make that, because I sorry I interrupted you, but you sound like you were about to come on.
No, you're fine. But, no, I was just saying with the beating thing, that beating made you a better person, and we're so scared now. We don't want to whoop our kids. We don't want to do, you know, anything to make them feel slighted. But if you just read Isaiah 3, it tells you clearly in the Bible, you know, the land is cursed when children oppress the parents. We got kids now that run the parents. They tell the parents what to do, you know, and if you're going to tell me what to do, you better start paying some of these bills in here, you know.
That's right. It's so crazy. Okay, we've got a few minutes left. We're going
to
wrap
do
up soon.
Yeah, we're going to need to do, Prophet, we don't know if you're available to come back tomorrow for part two, but let me know if you are, if you can come back tomorrow, which is Wednesday, and or if you can come Thursday, but we definitely need part two. We are not done with you, but go ahead, caller, area code 954. You are on the air.
Yes, my name is Keisha Murray. I'm your Facebook friend, Lalisa. Thank you so much for inviting Prophet John Hart. This message has been greatly received by me and all of the callers I can speak for. I mean, you can feel the Holy Spirit through the phone. I mean, he is saying things that most people, you know, in the church organization, they don't want to speak these things. They, you know, because it's not politically correct. You're going to touch on you're going to step on someone's toes. I mean, he's saying all the right things, you know. I totally agree, you know, with what he's saying, and it's such a blessing to hear something so truthful and refreshing.
Yes.
And I can't wait to, you know, to hear this, you know, to receive this book that he's working on, and I wish him all the success, you know, and I can't wait to get any more food that he's, you know, about to give us. All right, and that's all I wanted to say.
Awesome.
Amen.
That is so awesome. Yes, we definitely want you to say a prayer, man of God, before you leave. And I don't know if Coach Lalisa still has another question for you before we wrap it up. But we have certainly enjoyed.
I know I don't, Prophet. The only thing I have to say, and I'm going to let you know, you wrap it up, pray, and we'll get out of here. But, Prophet, I need you to please send Coach Cassandra or myself another date. We are not done. This is not over. So please, and I don't care if it's a week from now, but we need a second date from you, if you don't mind. But go right ahead.
Yes. So could you, please say a prayer, you know, whatever you feel like the Lord is saying for a few minutes, and we're going to be wrapping it up real soon. I can't believe almost an hour has transpired. We have truly enjoyed you, man of God. And listen, callers, don't forget to make comments at hashtag PowerYourPossibilities. That's another way we can stay in touch with you folks. Go to hashtag PowerYourPossibilities on Facebook and leave your comments. We also have a free gift there for you. And we're so glad that you're tuning in, telling your friends. And don't forget, we've got the teleshow, Power Up Your Possibilities teleshow. It's once a month, and that date is April 29th. And we have the next Power Up Your Possibilities webinar on April 22nd. So we've got some awesome dates coming up. We've got some power pack things, and want to remind you that Coach Lalisa and I are available to as keynote speakers, as well as doing conferences, workshops. We're taking this message across America, and we are so excited about what God is doing, and we certainly thank God for this connection with you, Prophet Hart. I pray that we'll be able to do some things in the future, and we'll get together with you regarding a date to come back and, later in the week or next week, as Coach Lalisa says. And so we thank you, man of God, and so we're going to let you say whatever the Lord is saying through you for this time and lead us out in prayer. Thank you. Go ahead.
Amen. Father, it is in your name that we come before the throne. But, Lord, we asking this morning that we don't just come before the throne, Lord. We asking that we come boldly before the throne and let our petitions be known, Lord. I'm asking that you would empower the listeners to get back to basics. We've become so tech-savvy, Lord, that we've gotten away from the basic things of holiness. Holiness does not require a mindset that these people believe it does. It requires a sincere heart to please the Lord. There's an intimacy, Father, that we are missing with you, and it reflects in our relationships. We're not intimate with our children. We're not intimate with our spouses. So how in the world could we ever be intimate with you? So, Lord, I'm asking that you would touch the people's heart and return them to a true intimacy with you. That alone time. I'm asking, Father, that you would touch the heart of these men to love, honor, and care for their families. Even the men who are in separate homes, that does not stop you from being a father to your children. Spend time with your children. Your boys won't be able to take care of you when you get ready to go to the nursing home because they're the same age as you. It's that child that you're neglecting that will be there for you when you can't take care of yourself. So, Lord, we're just asking a complete turnaround this morning, a 180 in the spirit for the families to come back together. If we would focus on the families, the church would take care of themselves. I ask you again, Lord, to remember the women and what they're doing for you in this hour, to open doors of favor, financial prosperity. People don't like to talk about money, but when they do, they talk about it the wrong way, Lord. But money is a necessary tool. It's just a tool. It's not a God. It's a tool that we can use to build the great work for you here. So I'm praying, Father, that you will send people to pour into them the way they need to do your work, not for their glory, not for their edification, but that the ministry will continue to grow and touch lives and open doors for people such as myself that need to get the word of God out. This is a true move of God. I felt the Spirit when they asked me to come on, and I'm just praying, Lord, that it will remain the same. We give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory because you are the only true and wise God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that powerful word of prayer and encouragement. Yes. And what would you say to someone who is just starting off a business and they're afraid to move forward? They got a Gideon spirit on them, but they know that they are called to do more and be more to fulfill purpose. What would you say to someone who is not doing the purpose because of fear or some hindrance, a family member, a friend, something they feel is in the way of an impediment to keep them from fulfilling destiny or purpose? What would you say to that person?
That's an awesome question. And first of all, I would say it is the Lord thy God that has given you the ability to produce wealth. We all have an untapped resource inside of us, an invention or a book or a play or a movie or the ability to build homes that we all need to dig into. And for the people who are not moving forward, this is the number one thing you need to do. Get Jonah off the boat. Get him off
right.
the boat. Quiet your ear to Judas. Most of the time, we won't move forward because of the person that keeps telling us, you can't do that. They're not going to receive you if you do that. And that person is doing absolutely nothing. Then you also need to be aware of the trickster. And that's the person you keep sharing your ideas with, and they're taking them and using them. So when God has given you a move or a business idea or a play or whatever it is that he's called you to do, people always say, well, do it in fear. I don't agree with that because God did not give us the spirit of fear. You do it in the confidence that God has called you to walk in. And if somebody around you is always downing you and putting you down, we need to learn, people of God, that they're and all the great preachers say this, but nobody's doing it. There are people in your life just for a season. You can't hold on to everybody. And if you're going higher, I got biblical references to back it up, because I don't believe in saying nothing without scripture. When Moses went up to the mountain, he went by himself. When Abraham had to take his son up to be sacrificed, he told the servants, y'all wait here, and me and the lad went higher. You can't take everybody with you to glory because everybody ain't qualified to go there. If God has given you a multi-million dollar idea and you got nickel and penny friends, leave them there until you get situated. Them getting, seeing you getting situated might inspire them to get off their behind and do something. But if we all sit around as crabs in the bucket, we just going to get eight. Somebody better get out the bucket and go get help. And that's the mindset you need to have. I'm going to get up. I'm going to be the Nehemiah of my family and go and rebuild the wall. Get up. Stop procrastinating Candy Crush and Farmville is not going to take care of your kids. It's not going to pay their tuition. It's not going to pay the light bill. Bright House does not want to know how good you are at Mafia Wars. You have to get up and take care of yourself. If God has given you ideas to do that, get off your behind and go to work while it's still day. Because when night comes, no man can work.
Amen.
All right.
Yeah. That's a now word if I ever heard of it.
This has been a powerful show. Well, we got about 3 more minutes. That's three. If anybody has a burning comment or question, if not, we're going to just roll on to the closing. And again, Prophet, God bless you. Thank you so much for sharing what God has given to you. And thank God for you pouring out.
Amen. Really, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you. Thank God for Coach Cassandra. Thank God for God putting it on your heart to invite John Hart. Amen. Yes. Oh, Lord God, I can't wait. I believe this is definitely going to be one of the highest downloadable shows that we've had in a long time. And I believe that God is going to direct people to tune in and, you know, so many things you're saying. And I just, oh, my God, I'm just thankful and grateful. And, God, I just, this is another one of those shows where, you know, people can come and be blessed and move forward, you know, get the instructions to move forward. A lot of people that have children, they don't know what to do, so they do turn to some of the worldly ways, you know, and a lot of things have been missing in the home, and, you know, God wanting to restore and add that restoration. And, you know, God has sent his prophets and leaders and teachers and apostles and everybody that God sends and uses. But everybody doesn't take their calling and their assignments to heart. I guess you didn't have a choice since that's your last name.
No.
But you got to take it to heart, brother. You the heart. John Hart.
Amen.
Every day you say your name is a reminder. Now I got to take this to heart. You know, I can't be playing like everybody else. I'm taking it to heart.
Amen.
Because I know there are some play actors. We know there's some people out there playing around, but I'll tell you, I can't wait till my sister meets you. We're going to get you on our Sunday broadcast, Sisters in the Spirit. It's our Christian, this is a Christian entrepreneur show. And even though we, you know, we don't say that in the advertisement, but we don't have to. That's why everybody that somehow, since we've been doing the broadcast, everybody that tunes in or for the most part, are believers. And one man I used to have on the show for a whole year, he would be my co-host. And I've been knowing the man 20 years. I didn't know what his faith was. And one day, about halfway through his time with me on air for 6 months, he said, I have a big announcement. When the next time I come on, he had a big announcement. I was like, okay, I didn't know what he was going to announce. Well, he had announced that he had not had received Jesus as his Lord and Savior, but then he did. And that he had this new life. Well, of course, we know that, right? Because when Jesus comes in, you got your new life. So we don't have to say this is a Christian radio show, but just so happens God brings the right people to this mic, and I just wanted to make that public for people to know it's not our doing. Coach Cassandra didn't call me up and say, hey, I'm an evangelist, and, you know, I want to be a co-host in the show, and, you know, let's take this thing to church. No, it didn't work like that. It's God has done this. So it's, what he does is marvelous. I don't know about you, Prophet, and you, Coach Cassandra, but what he does, and the rest of you listening, what he does is marvelous in my sight.
Amen.
You know, so.
Absolutely.
You know, we're going to invite you to the Sisters in the Spirit radio broadcast, ministry broadcast that comes on Sundays at 6 p.m. I don't know what part of the country you're in, Prophet. I believe you're in St. Louis.
Orlando.
Oh, you're Orlando, Florida?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, where I did my boot camp. Awesome.
Yeah, you was in the Navy.
I was. Don't
yeah,
hold that
too.
Against me, though.
No, I was in the Navy,
Oh, you were in the Navy, too.
Yes, ma'am.
Where'd you do boot camp? In Chicago
Orlando.
Or California?
Orlando.
Oh, you did?
Building 311.
Oh. Oh, my God. I was company, I think it was KO39 or something. It was many years ago.
Yeah, me too. C073.
Wow. Anyway, we'll talk about that another day. anchors away, y'all. But good. Awesome. Look at God. I'm just – go ahead. No, I thought you were saying something. I'm just blown away again.
I just said it was a small world.
Wow. I'm just – oh, my God. Oh, my God. I tell you, so now you see why we got to have you back. Callers, I know some of you had questions you wanted to ask. We're out of time, but please post it on Facebook, Twitter. Tell all your friends to go back, listen to this archive. All the shows are in archive, but it's listed in archive. The name is there. The date is there. You can easily find it right on the website, blogtalkradio.com/the AAE show. Please pass this around. Others need to hear. Pass it around. Let your church members hear it. Have a Bible study at your church or Sunday school, and you can download this on your iPod or what have you and play it. Do it around your women's groups. Bring this in as a study for your church leaders, those of you who are church leaders out there. And you want something for your leadership team. Use this. Contact Prophet John Hart. He said he's available to travel, to come and speak, to teach, and to train the church. Don't miss it. If we can hire Stephen Covey and the Tony Robbins of the world and all these other people to come into our major organizations when they're underperforming so that they can be turned around, we ought to be willing to bring in the Prophet John Hart of the world into our churches to teach and to train, to get things turned around so that we could, you know, be that abundant church, that kingdom-building, you know, church for that God would have us to be. So with that being said, Coach Cassandra, any more comments from you?
Well, I have absolutely enjoyed the man of God and so glad that you have come and shared with us. And we'll talk more about your business next time. He is in the real estate business. But I tell you, the Word of God is so good, you know. It's like a good, like Campbell soup. So we really got into the Word, and so I'm so glad about it. And we're looking forward to having you come back again, man of God. And we just want everyone to have a wonderful day. And hopefully you've started off your day in the Word and some prayer. We just want you to have a super califragilistic expialidocious day, baby, because God is so good. And I love you, and just stay in connection with us. I'm on Facebook, and so is go ahead, Coach Larissa.
We love you, love you, love you. Love you.
Take care. Bye. No stopping you now. Hey, hey.
That's right. There's no stopping you now. Well, thank you for tuning in to another segment of All About Entrepreneurs. Don't forget, stop by our website, www.blogtalkradio.com/allaboutentrepreneurs, and visit us on the web at www.release-your-power.com. Like our friend page on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at twitterandfacebook.com/CoachLalisa. If you would like to get in touch with one of the entrepreneurs or one of the guests that you've heard on this show, please send us a request on Facebook or on Twitter or right here on Blog Talk Radio. Well, if you're not an entrepreneur yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. Go out and make it happen. Again, we'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place, for another exciting episode of All About Entrepreneurs. Stay tuned for our conferences, our seminars, and our webinars where you can get further trained as you develop just what you are and just what you want to do. Again, this has been Coach LaLisa J. Williams.